Okay.
You're recording, Larry. I am recording.
I am recording. What it's going to sound like and what it will be, I have no idea.
We've always had low expectations.
It doesn't sound that bad on my end.
Well, that's what she said.
Okay.
Well, you know.
You'll never know how much I really love. No, I don't know what.
Let's just start with that.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Welcome on it.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Wow, so anything happened this last week?
Ooh, yeah. I got a new fridge.
Well, bury the lead, Josh.
That is the pivot on which the world turns these days. Holy shiza. Dude, don't tell it. We got to start with that. You can't just let that go. Let's hear about this fridge.
I got a new, it's not delivered yet, but I got a new fridge, and I got one with the touch screen thing.
Ooh, it's a smart fridge.
Yes. Ooh. I got a semi looking at this thing. What? It's so awesome.
Is now, it one of those that tells you when you're running out of certain things?
We don't have it yet because it was on backwards, so we have to wait like a month. But I was just like watching a video on all the things it does. It's got a camera inside of the fridge. So like if I'm at the grocery store and I'm not sure how much milk we have, I can pull up the app and look inside my fridge. And it said it had this thing where it's got like, it will recognize what food is in the fridge and then link to what recipes you can make. it shows, like it'll scan and be like, tomato.
First of all, you shouldn't put tomato in the fridge.
Well, I, whatever, Andy. But it's my fridge. I'll put over the damn. Put a can of motor oil in there. I don't care.
Now, you know that that's how the Russians are monitoring our consumption, fridge. Right?
Well, just think, I could just start putting a whole bunch of crazy shit in there and see what kind of food I can make with it. You know what I mean?
That's like, astonishing. Do you remember, Larry, what song they used? I believe it was Samsung a couple years ago for an advertising campaign. They ran these commercials where a kid's running around with a space helmet on and like, you know, pretending, you know, to play spaceman or whatever. And then he runs into the kitchen and he goes up to the fridge and presses a button and it gives him, you know, whatever. It's this futuristic fridge by Samsung. Do you remember the song that they used to sell it?
That commercial's not ringing a bell with me. The image that you, the beautiful picture you painted.
It was ELO Ticket to the Moon.
Oh,
off
wow.
The Time album, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, boy, cut, man.
That was a fun little bit right there.
Yeah. Well, for us ELO fans.
Commercial songs.
You take it where you can get it.
Yeah.
So when's the fridge arrive?
In a month. It's a Samsung and I'm pretty stoked about it. It's links to like Spotify and all this other stuff. So you can just go boop like that and just start playing music on it. It's pretty cool.
Wow. Crazy. Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe he played music maybe that's the exact thing. So play a lot of ELO on it.
I will. And, when we get it, that'll be the first song I play.
You know what you could do? But don't put away the advent calendar. Keep the advent calendar out and you can have an advent calendar leading up to the arrival of the
I was actually gonna do better and just have Spotify have that song queued up for when they deliver it, and as soon as they start putting it in, I'll just play it through all the speakers in the house.
I got a ticket to the moon.
Exactly. See if those guys get it. They're gonna be like, hey, did you ever is that from that commercial? I'm like, yeah.
Nice. Hey, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't 2021 so much more smooth than 2020?
Is this what we were asking for? We're like, I can't wait for 2021. It's going to be great.
What in God's name?
Yeah, this is what they call a clinger. This is, you know, there's a whole lot of 2020 that we didn't wipe off as we went to the new year. So it's you know, we'll get there. It's inevitable. Somebody referred to this as, so how was that last week of 2020? You know,
the 53rd week of 2020.
It was pretty rough all the way to December 37th, 2020. Yeah.
Man. So we're talking, people hear this on, God, what date? 11, 12, 13, on the 14th, I guess, of January is when this will be published. We're talking on the Sunday before. what are your thoughts of the last week, Larry? You know, we usually don't delve too far into the political, but what's your takeaway from this last week?
I don't think there's anybody who's listening to this, maybe with some rare exceptions, because we've certainly driven any of those people away. But I don't think there's anybody listening to this who wasn't extremely disheartened by what we saw that day. I mean, it was scary. I was angry, but it was so disheartening. It was a nadir in the political life of our country from the time that I've been. I mean, you know, I was around when Nixon resigned. I didn't know anything about it. I've seen, you know, so many things happened, but
you were around when Johnson left office, were you? Andrew Johnson.
I probably was. Sorry, go ahead. I actually met Lyndon Johnson. That's a different
story.
Did
you really?
I did when I was a kid.
Wow.
Twice. But
didn't he like to show everybody his penis? Wasn't that a thing?
What?
Didn't he always brag about his pecker, Lyndon Johnson?
Not to me.
I'm telling you, he had a thing where he was. Like he liked to pee in like on the outside. Like he would pee on the grass.
Is that where the term "my Johnson" came from?
Maybe, who knows? That might be it.
That sounds like a good old Texas boy right there.
There's something.
When I met him when I was 5 years old, he never mentioned his penis to me. So
was he peeing in the grass when you met him?
I did shake his hand though. So. I was so saddened by that after I got over the initial just frightened and once it calmed down and once things got under control and, you know, got past the anger of the things that caused it and the people that caused it and the people responsible, especially because of not just what was said, but what's been said since Election Day. Or when we got the results of Election Day, and the people still holding on to this fallacy, it's just so disheartening because this is not just going to go away on Inauguration Day, no matter how peaceful it might be. This is the country we live in now. This is not people saying this is not the America I know. It's like, no, this is very much a part of what our country is now, and we have to be cognizant and diligent about that because it's going to stay a factor for a while. And I don't know what to do about it.
I agree with you.
I'm really concerned about how things go in the future. And I want to be positive. I want to feel like, you know, the right minds, I don't know. It's so confusing to me.
I'm 100% with you, and that's well said.
It wasn't well said, but thank you for saying so.
No, the sentiment is exactly right. I was sick to my stomach watching the events of Wednesday unfold. And the
weird thing is, I think everybody was, but I don't think that there really was an element of a surprise to it. You know what I mean? I wasn't surprised that this is what it's come to. I was just like, yes, there was that surprise, but not like a shocking, oh my God, it's really come to this. It's been sitting there forever.
I think it was the sight of the Capitol that was, Not a surprise. Yeah, I think something like this has been fomenting for some time. But the fact that our nation's capital was basically overrun by an angry mob is something we have never witnessed. It hasn't happened since the 1890s, apparently. And that was the thing. It's such an iconic thing. It represents so much, no matter what side you believe in. And to see it just outright sullied by these fucking clowns in Viking hats and, you know, makeup. And it looked like the worst section of the worst period of Oakland Raider fans.
I was going to say Eagles, but yeah, go ahead.
It was the dog pound
right.
Gone wild with political fervor. It was like the Warriors, you know, that movie. It was like people in costume, you know, trying to take over. It was like science fiction, man. It was so weird. It was like a bad Gerard Butler movie.
That's the thing is, I wasn't surprised. I was astonished. It wasn't that I didn't think that it could happen. It was that I was gobsmacked that it was happening.
That it actually did, yeah.
And the things that I saw people do with this mob mentality, you know, even people in the crowd of a like mind getting trampled to death in this zeal to make this statement that has been fed to so many. And that's the thing, as you talked about, Larry, to your point, that terrifies me. And if anybody, you're right, if anybody's listening right now and they're holding on to QAnon horse shit and they think that that's the way, get the fuck out. I don't have any time for you. I don't make any money off this podcast to begin with. I never have made a cent off it. It's cost me money. And if you're still hanging around thinking that, here's the thing. What troubles me most, and I pity them because they've been fed it. They've been fed it over and over by a monster and by people who have propagated it in far right wing media. And it just goes on. It's like it's this, you know, cult of personality shit that you see in North Korea and other places. And what kills me is it couldn't be that someone was boorish and was a xenophobe and, you know, couldn't care about the effects of a pandemic on his people and, you know, wants to shut out brown and black people and all of these things and became so unpopular that got voted out by 7 million votes. No. The only logical explanation has to be that every Democrat in the world is a Satan worshiping pedophile and are fondling kids in a Pittsburgh pizza parlor, and somehow he is the savior sent by God to liberate them from our evil. That kind of shit, you know, that kind of think is just, it's not think at all. It's a cult, and it terrifies the shit out of me, and it makes me worried for, you know, and I think there has to be a lot of deprogramming that goes on in the next decade.
Well, here's
the
scary
to change
thing about
some
that
minds.
Is that it's just not QAnon. This thing that happened was a broad spectrum of different types of hate. You know what I mean? It wasn't just QAnon. It was the Proud Boys. It was white supremacists. It was, you know, just we can start a list of all the hate groups that were involved in this. You know what I mean?
But it's also people next door to you and I who are maybe not on the extreme end that Andy's talking about, but are absolutely certain that some sort of fraud occurred. That's
right. And here's where it comes back to.
The extreme stuff is worrying. But the thing that's really insidious is that the lie is propagated by people who are generally
by our leaders,
well educated and not extremists. They're the guy in my neighborhood who walks around every day with a 45. Is he the 45th president? A red and white 45 cap, walking his dog every day.
Oh, I mean, what about our leaders? What about the ones that all backtracked and immediately jumped off the ship 4 hours after this happened?
Yeah. For four years, all of a sudden, they've got
morals within the last 45 minutes. You know what I mean? And they got 2 weeks to get rid to all of a sudden this is, you know, I can't support this anymore. It's like, screw you. You've been supporting it for 3.5 years. Why now?
That's the thing. The thing that's lost is civility. This idea that, look, I have respect for someone who has a different political view than I do. Someone who says every life is sacred, absolutely abortion under no circumstances, doesn't matter what, because I believe in God and I believe that this is the mission that he has sent me to, execute on earth. So that's my stand on it. I at least have respect for that conviction. Now then, someone who takes that to the extreme of, doing something violent to prevent those sorts of things, that seems crazy to me. Yeah. And once you get to that, past the point of I disagree with you, because I have great tolerance for people with different political viewpoints. I'm not completely conservative or completely liberal. I'm somewhere in the middle, as you've said before as well, Larry. I don't fall into one of those categories. I feel this way about certain things, this way about other things. But this,
I think most
this
people
idea,
are like that. I think most people are more centrist than one side or the other.
And that's why I think most people listening to this right now, the ones that are still listening, are of the same mind of, this is common sense. And what happened this last weekend isn't sense. And finally, people are starting to stand up to it and say, you can't say this shit. You know what it is? Here it is.
There's a lack of accountability in what you say.
Exactly. It's when, and talk years ago, before Donald Trump was in office, for the last 10 years or longer, whenever you go to read an article about any subject online, you start going down to the comment section. And the shit people will say in a comment section, Larry, you've been in radio for long enough to know what people say about you on the air and this and that and whatever. The things that people will say when they think they're not going to be held accountable for
and because they don't have to sign in with their proper
They don't
name.
Have to sign in. They can have an avatar. They can say whatever the fuck they want. Mm-hmm. And they can say it with impunity. And they think that just because you're Larry Morgan, a radio personality in Los Angeles, that you're impervious to the hate, to the hurt
but
that those words can bring.
But when he signs in the comments section as cute anon, and starts laying all his his comments.
But it's that thing, and it's that idea that you can be anonymous about it and say these awful things and say, let's storm the Capitol and put that in a feed somewhere, and that's somehow harmless, and you're just using your First Amendment right. No, there's a point where that's not helping. You're not helping the discourse. And, frankly, I believe that the fear is that there are more and more people that are of this mind, more and more people who are moderate and see the light and can hold two ideas in their head at one time. And these people with these very strongly held beliefs about, the things that you will hear MAGA supporters say, I think they're getting fewer and fewer. I think Texas is turning purple. I think Georgia is turning purple. And I think that there's a fear that there's no way to turn that tide other than with a great deal of force. And that is where the rubber meets the road and is the scary thing that you talked about.
Well, I like to think that the majority of the 74 million people that didn't vote for Trump, but voted Republican or voted against Biden or voted for the policies that they believed in. I like to think that the majority of those 74 million people were at least somewhat embarrassed about the past 4 years and maybe now are going, oof, I think we dodged a bullet there. And I think the majority of those 74 million people are like, crap, we lost we'll do it again next time. I like to think that the majority of those people are not sitting there with this venom and this anger and believing the bullshit about widespread fraud. That's the one glimmer of hope I have, is that because I know those people, and you said the same thing, Andy. I've sat down. I'm pretty good friends with Michael Reagan, of all people, and he says some stuff that just like, oh please. But we will sit down at Marmalade Cafe when you can do something like that and argue with each other and and laugh about it and have a wonderful time. And there's nobody who's more right out there on the fringe than Michael Reagan. Stuff he does on Twitter is like, dude, I can't believe I know you. But we can have that discourse and smile about it the whole time and completely understand why we're at odds with each other. And
civility.
Still walk away with civility. And I think that's one of the things, you know, there's this whole thing about like when people say, I can't believe I missed the George Bush years. And then people jump down their throat saying it was horrible. And
here's a part of that civility thing that I mean, I don't want to be to me, if a person is, in this instance, responding in a way to something that is such a fabricated piece of crap, it's hard to remain 100% civil to them when you're like, why are you perpetuating this lie? How do you know there is no evidence of election fraud whatsoever to the Supreme Court, but yet you're still touting that the election has been stolen from you? I don't understand what you're talking about.
I understand. Now, but I understand
being civil with policies and different beliefs, sure. But when it comes down to something that's like, this is common sense, people. This is just red is red. You can't say because you don't want red to be red, it is no longer red. Red will always be red. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it's more here's a blue thing than a red thing. But okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
It's dogma. It's, you know, and we've spoken of this before, like in Korea. I remember, I think we'd talked about this a few weeks ago. I remember seeing someone who had escaped North Korea, and they were in their 20s, and they were sat down as part of a documentary and shown when Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il walked into an arena. And everyone stood up and were clapping and crying, and that's their dear leader. And this person who had escaped that and was, you know, completely wanted out and had to have no part of that communist regime, they're watching it and there are tears streaming down their eyes. They couldn't help it. It's like my, you know, Catholic dogma that I still have a feeling sometimes of great reverence and, you know, Christmas time hearing O Holy Night. And I'm like, what is this feeling? And I'm sure it's because I was taught to feel it as a young person. And so I feel that in a number of ways, they can't help it. Because the president of the United States told them it was so. The supposedly you know, our head of state, the most authoritative person on the continent, supposedly told them this. It was repeated by everyone below him in his administration. It was repeated by every media outlet that they frequent. And it was repeated by all of their neighbors and friends and online and social media. It gets to a point where it cavitates and there's no escaping it. Yeah. And that becomes the truth for them.
That is your reality, because that is literally the only message that you are allowing in to your brain.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And also you're more open to it. There's part of you that wants it to be true, no matter what.
And then that's where the anti-mainstream media thing comes in, because if they're not channeling the same beliefs, if the news they're getting is not agreeing with your beliefs, then it is automatically fake news.
That has to be wrong. Yeah. Well, let's put a button on it, because I'm sure we won't solve it today. Just like when people say, "Hey, you ever see that meme? Hey, today I changed someone's mind on Facebook." it's not going to happen. And I think we're preaching to the choir for the most part on all of this. But what you said, Larry, I think was apropos and poignant. It's a time of concern, and looking forward, I think that more understanding and civility is part of the recipe of moving on from this in a constructive way. Because I feel confident in this country. I feel like we can do it. It's just going to take a little while to.
Well, I don't think it's over yet.
But
yeah, I mean, like, there's going to be more incidents. From the last Wednesday was the last time I had a feeling of just impending dread and just overall just scared of life was it was 9/11. Was that what's next? Yeah. And now this is now I'm not scared of Middle Eastern terrorists. Now I'm scared of domestic terrorists.
Yep.
That's what this has come to.
It's going to be an issue. But I do believe that we will at least be in a place where the people that are guiding the government can be trusted. And I'm not saying that as a Democrat thing. I think even, you know, we got a Senate that's split 50-50, even though, you know, it flips red because of the vice president. I think even the people in there now are also feeling like a bullet was dodged. I got to think people in those chambers, and I think people through most of the government, most of it, are going to hopefully be diffusing some of this and not exacerbating it. And the ones on the fringe that are somehow clinging to this dogma will start to be put. And now there's going to be groundswell. But, you know, there was a time where the Tea Party was supposed to be the next big thing. And you know, that didn't really come together.
It was all drank up by Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah. He sucked all the oxygen out of the room, so, and he became the party.
We can move on, but I thank you for giving us just a chance to express it, because
you can't. I mean, this is the conversation that from the beginning, this podcast was about what would people like us be talking about at the corner of the bar at our corner bar. And if you're not talking about this, then you're not on this fucking planet right now. And I think that this is constructive. I think it's healthy to talk about this with people and try to come to some sort of, even with people, it's gotten me to the point where I feel like I want to pick up the phone and just see where my brothers and sisters are at, because many of them are much further to the right. And I feel I haven't had any political conversations with them in 4 years.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need to at least take the temperature and try to come to some understanding. And try to do that, because none of them are, you know, would be involved in anything like this, of course. But I believe that many of them do buy into some of these principles that have been bandied about in the last several months.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I need to start that healing a little bit and open up a little bit. And it's easier for me to do because I don't have a pit in my stomach because this guy's in office. But that's part of what I'm doing. By the way, last observation, and I'm not sure if this is true, but it was just something that dawned on me. At first, I'm like, why are they going to do the impeachment with just a couple weeks to go? Because this is going to, you know, at best, it's going to spill over into the first 100 days of, you know, Biden's presidency and things he wants to do.
There's a very good reason why.
I understand the reason why. And there are two reasons. One, you can't let shit like this just go.
Precedent.
You've got to say this comes with a price. The other thing is this. Let's say a personal pardon is invoked. Whether that stands up in the Supreme Court or not, you know, he tries to pardon himself for this. It says very specifically in the law that the pardon is works for all cases for federal crimes against America, except in cases of impeachment.
Right.
So by putting impeachment in process, I think it even, you know, for whatever else, great, you can't be charged for anything else, but you can be held accountable for this instance of, you know, insurrection. So, you know, whether how this all unfolds and how messy it gets and whatever else happens, I don't know. But what a week.
Yeah.
Guys, there's one more important thing that I wanted to bring up today, and I just, you know.
More important than Josh's fridge?
Steeler game.
Yes, yes.
The Steeler game?
It's the gutters, because there's been a lot that's been done in the last couple weeks that I feel like you need to know about.
God, I thought I was depressed over the last 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, it's been a half hour, by the way. Time flies when you're talking insurrection. I just wanted to give you a little update. It's almost there. It's almost, I've done flashing around most of it. I just got like, you know, another 6 feet to go of flashing to make sure that everything's, you know, completely sealed up. The downspouts in, putting the rain barrels, the rain catchment barrels in place. There's just so much exciting stuff that's still happening.
You know what I want to see when this is all said and done, Larry? You know what I really want to see? I want to see what happens the first time it rains. I want to see the look on his face and if he runs outside and just stares at it and sees how well it works for like 20
minutes. I'm going to run out there and twirl and throw my cap in the air.
Exactly.
You can turn the world on with your smile.
You know what he's actually going to do is he's going to run tests with the hose before. He's going to start spraying water up there, see how well it works.
No, I didn't.
What's great about this is that, I mean, obviously there's a reason to have them, but when we're talking about an area that, you know, how much rain do we get in Southern California every year? It's such a major project for such a small amount of rain.
I just pictured this. This is what Andy's going to, I'm going to paint a verbal picture of what Andy's going to look like the first time it rains and he's looking up at his gutter. Okay. Remember in Shawshank Redemption when Andy Dufresne comes out of the pipe and looks up into the sky?
arms to the heavens.
Think of Andy Chandler in a bathrobe looking up at the rain coming into his gutters.
Not as brown and not as smelly.
Well,
yeah it's a personal choice.
But to your point, Larry, that's, you know, that's why we do it, because I've got two barrels, 55-gallon barrels. That's 110 gallons of water, that rainwater that's you know, trapped in there. And then that ends up, you know, lasting through the end of the summer.
What do you
it
do
lasts
with
all summer
water?
Long.
Just water your plants?
We use it, water plants in the garden and so forth. Yeah, you can't drink it.
I was going to say, but you bathe in it?
Oh, God. I dumped out one of the barrels and cleaned it. You know, the asphalt and shit that came off of the roof that was in there? Ugh. Yeah.
You
don't want to drink that.
I've been cleaning up this apartment in LA just to get Alex is getting a new roommate in here, and it, you know, just, we just haven't been here that much, and just the stuff in the air in Los Angeles proper, you just kind of run a finger along the windowsill and it's like, oh no, we're breathing this.
If you live close, I used to live right beside a freeway, and it was like literally you would have to dust every day. And as you were wiping the cloth, like on the windowsill, you would see dust like landing again on the place that you just, like, you had to dust nonstop.
I'm two blocks away from Wilshire, and I think this is all kind of, you know, filtering from, there's, you know, buses and cars, and even during the pandemic, you know, traffic on Wilshire is a main corridor, and that's plus, you know, people's air conditioning or whatever other crap is, you know, spewing out there. But man, oh, can't believe the stuff we're taking into our system every day.
No,
this podcast has just been so bright.
It really is
uplifting.
Don't they say that up to 90% of dust is human skin cell?
Okay, see you guys later.
Oh God, Larry, do you don't have the audio, do you? Oh shit!
You can
I need
play
to
it
find
off your
it.
Phone.
I gotta find it and play it off my phone. Where is it? Where is it? I need to find it. Oh, here we go.
Got it.
Here we go. Yeah. Oh, wait. Is that the first one?
We all went on a special little journey this week.
Hey, just FYI, that was the best thing that happened to me on Wednesday.
Was that Wednesday?
That was Wednesday morning, wasn't it?
There were two of them, weren't there?
Yeah, because the second one was Wednesday night when they were.
Right. I gotta find it because I think you just sent that to Larry and me. Give me. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is what I got. This is Wednesday morning.
Yep. This is literally 20 minutes after I got up. This is me coming downstairs to start my day, turning the lights on and everything.
Okay.
Morning time, and I came downstairs and the dog puked. So I'm on my way to sleep. So I'm gonna try to clean it up. It's in the other room. See if I can do it.
It stopped. Oh, there's more of it. She, right after that, she took over, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. What happened is I came. it was in our living room, and when I turned on the light, I saw it, and I immediately knew what it was. So I just immediately looked away and went into the kitchen to collect myself. So that, in the kitchen is when I started the recording, and I grabbed paper towels to go. It was like just white foam. And I went in to clean up, and the farthest I got was I walked in the living room and threw a towel on top of it so I wouldn't have to see it, and then I ran back into the kitchen. And then that's when I was like, I left the room. I'm gonna go. Okay, now I'm gonna go back in and try to clean it up. And as I went back, I came around the corner and I was like reaching down to do it. Cindy came downstairs and was like, "I'll do it. Go away."
Oh, and then we got this one later in the evening.
All right, so here, listen.
Here. Mr. President, I yield up to 5 minutes to the Senator from South Carolina, Senator Graham. Senator from South Carolina. Many times my state has been the problem. I love it. It's where I want to die, but no time soon. Tim and I have a good relationship. I love Tim.
What happened there?
That was Lindsey Graham talking, and it was the same as listening to him is the same as looking at dog puke.
Wow. I was not ready for that. I had not listened to that yet.
Yeah. Wow. It's the big political comedy issue, everybody.
Right, exactly.
It is. Now, I want to tell you that we came, went down further in the county to, visit a Grammy who's been, sequestering herself so the kids could see her. Cause this last weekend was birthdays around the house. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But, when we came back to the house after being gone overnight, there was cat puke everywhere.
Oh God.
So came home and I had to pick up some of that. And it, the thing about it that gets me is how it's, there's like an outline of a pool of like, yellowish tan creamy stuff.
Congratulations, Andy.
It never gets
old. I totally know exactly what you're talking about, too.
Oh, you know what? 2021 is looking up already, guys.
It really is. It really is.
My eyes are watering.
This weekend is the reason I couldn't do this yesterday. Friday is Vivian's birthday. She turned 6. And yesterday was Lara's birthday. She turned 7. And
that's really creepy and weird.
Is this the beginning of her birthday month?
Yes, the month abration.
The season of her birthday.
Yeah, dude. Because she will have socially distanced visits with her closest of confidants. She went on a hike, for example, with one of her friends this morning, and it's gonna stretch out for a month or so. All of it very responsibly done and at some distance, but felt bad for her because there wasn't shit we could do.
Yeah.
You can't go to a restaurant. You can't do this. Can't do that. Can't travel or anything like that for your birthday. So yesterday, the one thing she wanted to do was go on a hike. So we go on a hike down at Los Lionis. Have you ever been down there? Palisades, Pacific Palisades?
Yeah.
You go up this hike, and by the time you get up to the top, you're overlooking, wow, from Rancho Palos Verdes all the way up to, you know, Malibu and beyond.
Oh,
it's just, fantastic. From a bluff, it's just amazing. Our daughter, who we just, killed the fatted calf for the day before, could not have bitched more. And just completely.
Why? Was it like a pretty uphill or?
It's a hike and she's six, but I'm like, can I carry you on my shoulders? No. And just wanted to, be a pain in the ass the entire time. It got to the point where she wanted her water. And I'm like, you know what? I'll take her back down. You go up with Silas and enjoy it. We'll go back to the car and we'll listen to, Barbie music or some shit. And no, she wouldn't have that. Finally, Lara's like, I'll run back. We're halfway up the mountain. I'll run back down to the car and get her water and come up. You guys keep going and I'll meet you up there as far as you get. Well, we were almost to the top. So she went halfway up, ran halfway down, ran all the way up, and then hiked all the way down.
Yeah,
she got a real workout yesterday.
Yeah, but she was also probably like, I gotta get away from these jerks. I'll go down and get the water. I'll take an hour to walk. I just want to walk by myself. I can't stand these people.
Yeah,
it's my
she got 40 minutes apiece is what she got. That's right. I was sucking it up. But yeah, my girls, that second weekend after Christmas is just a...
Boy, yeah, coming right on the heels of the holidays too, man. It's just like bang, bang, bang. Yeah,
that was a just look at the look on his face.
Yeah, he's beat down.
So festive.
But can I tell you something? One of the things I said to Lara is, I'll tell you what, for dinner, I'll go to your favorite restaurant in West Hollywood and get this vegan dish that she enjoys, and I'll bring that home. And that buoyed her spirits, and I did that. I went over and got it. This place is called Pura Vida, and it is... Yeah, I like meat. You guys know that. I love my bacon. I love my filet mignon. I love sausage. I am a fan of meat. And yes, I know where it comes from, but that is overpowered by the smell of a rasher of bacon.
Yeah.
I love this shit from this vegan restaurant. And I know that if you two sat down and had a plate of this stuff, you'd be like, what the fuck is in this? Because I don't care what's in it. I just know it tastes great. It's an Italian restaurant and it's amazing. And they've got a pizza place next door where our chiropractor, Laura and I go to the same chiropractor. She told him about it and he's like, yeah, my wife's a vegan. Well, maybe I'll try it out. He went, he's a omnivore. And he said, this is the best pizza I've had. Period, vegan or other. I don't care that it's vegan. It's really, really good. So
what makes it so good that you don't know what it is? You know what I mean? Like, well, is it advertised as like vegan pizza or something, or is it?
Yeah. So like I had this dish that was pasta with in. The real world, it would be non-vegan restaurant. The real world. It would be, if you would make it, it would be pasta with a garlic butter cream sauce.
Right, okay. Like an Alfredo. Yeah, okay.
Like an Alfredo, kind of.
Yeah.
And she got this carbonara.
Oh,
with bacon and, just this incredible sauce on it. I swear to God, this stuff is, and it's the cheesy stuff is made out of like cashew butter and right. Whatever the hell else. I don't know what they put in it, but son of a bitch, it's good. So it's my little business. And
did they deliver it or did you pick it up?
I had to go get it.
Did you set up outside and light a candle so you can eat and look at the gutters and everything? I mean, what are you? You're trying to make it romantic, right?
You are such a
I just figured if there's any romance, you want to, like some people would set up and want to see like the full moon under the candlelight. That'd be nice. Be like, why not set up these brand new gutters?
Well, what's funny for New Year's Eve, we haven't spoken since then.
No.
That's when the last podcast aired. Went out and talk about that, how you spent your New Year's Eve. But I bought down at Anna Walt. They had these space heaters. You know, you clamp them to a 20-pound propane thing.
Oh yeah, and those are awesome.
And it's like a dual burner thing that goes. They were like $90, but they were on sale $40 off. I'm like, shit, oh, wow. I need one of those. So yeah, so I had a fire going in the Solo stove, and then on the other side of the patio, I had this dual heater. You know, propane. That thing kicks off a lot of heat.
Oh, we used to when the 2 years I went hunting, we had a stand that was like up on top of this ravine that looked down over. And like the day before, we'd carry a big tank of propane down there. And then that morning go down and see, it was basically just looked like a dugout, like a wooden dugout. You know what I mean? And we would put that one of those heaters on a propane tank. And that thing, I mean, by like an hour and a half into it, you'd be, in my mind, there's snow everywhere. Like that. You'd be like down to a t-shirt and jeans because it'd be so hot in those things. But those things are great.
Yeah, it's really, and I was saying to Laura, to your point about going out and having a candlelit dinner, you asshole. Well, as I said to Laura afterwards, I'm like, that really worked well, didn't it? That heater. She goes, yeah, it was nice. I said, you know what we could do is some night after we put the kids to bed, I could, on a cold night, I could go out there, fire that thing up. We could sit across from each other and, you know, be warmed by this heater and have a cocktail or, you know, a glass of wine and just chat outside under the stars. Wouldn't that be nice? And she's like, Yeah, it could be good.
Or even better, you get two of them. You can set them up in the grass and go make sweet love out in the grass in the middle of winter when nobody else would be doing it.
But knowing me, I'd roll into one of those and fall over and put a double brand on my ass. And, yeah.
get a sprinkler like right in the Nards.
Yeah. It could turn bad. But by the way, oh my God, I was going everywhere to find some propane. Have you looked for propane lately?
Yeah, it's at Walgreens.
They have propane at Walgreens? Seriously?
Yes.
I couldn't find it anywhere. I went to the Anawalt, went to Lowe's, went to Home Depot. I went to, called up Walmart.
I'll tell you
the places I never go. And I'm like, where's the fucking propane?
Okay,
you can't
a
buy
are you,
it
are
anywhere.
Are you doing an exchange or are you doing a refill?
Yes, just an exchange.
Okay.
That's what I was looking to do. They didn't have them anywhere. However, I looked up online. I'm like, propane near me. There's a place on my corner, like behind the Shell station up over here, where you just walk up and he refills them.
Yeah, there's
guess
one.
Guess how much it costs to refill? Well, now you know, Josh, but Larry, guess how much? You know how much it costs? Like $25 to exchange a cylinder, right?
Yeah, it's like 20.
Guess how much
$25.
It costs to fill up both of my 20-pound propane things? Like 40 pounds of propane.
I don't know. $5. Is this the game we're playing today?
Is this a question he just... Is there any more other questions Larry just would rather answer than this one? He's just
It's not about me. I guess my point is this of interest to anyone on the planet that we're playing this game?
It's an interest to me, but I already know the answer.
So yeah, it was like $20.
For
$20.
Two, yeah. And did they ask you that?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Andy, are you saying it only cost $20? That was two propane tanks?
Sounds like quite a deal, my friend.
Oh my God. Are you sure that was propane?
Wow. But I'm the last of the party because I go there and there's a line of like 15 people waiting for this. It was crazy.
I'll give you a little fun tip. There's also one on Colfax and Burbank. That gas station has one too.
Okay, good to know. This is good to know. These are little life hacks that are good to know.
Yeah, if you have a favorite propane refilling station, let us know. Our email is...
Hey, Andy, don't you have a outdoor griddle that works off of propane that you can use those both?
No,
those
it's natural gas. It's natural gas. It's,
no,
it's,
no, didn't you buy a camping one?
No, you bought... Oh, yeah. Well, it's a griddle, though. That doesn't emit, you know,
why can't
not
you
as much
those,
heat.
Hook those giant tanks up to that griddle outside. Then plug the heater in and make love in the grass. Sounds like a weekend.
Wow. That's just hurtful, is what that is.
That's not hurtful. I'm coming up with
what did we say at the beginning? It's a time for healing, Josh. And here you're fomenting all sorts of discord. This is hurtful.
I'm trying to get you some action out in nature. in a comfortable temperature.
Yeah. Right. Josh is just a man of romance. He's just trying to spice up your stale marriage.
You act like you've never talked to me before, Andy. You've never heard of the romantic ideas that I've come up with?
You imagine the kids walking out in the middle of the yard in the middle of the night. Mommy, Daddy, where are you? Got an array of heaters up and we're just...
My dad's white ass up in the air. Yeah.
Talk about scarring a kid. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Wowzer.
I'm a little bit disturbed too right now.
Well, how did you spend the New Year's Eve festivities, Larry? I'm going to guess you were in bed by 8:30.
Probably, yeah. I don't. New Year's Eve. It has been a long time since we've either done anything or paid attention to it in any sort of real way. It was extremely uneventful. I think we just. Yeah, I mean, I think we made dinner and we. It wasn't very memorable. I think we toasted with sparkling cider.
Yeah,
because we're still not drinking. It was pretty low key. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
and you, Josh?
Same here. We didn't do shit. We just.
What time did you get to sleep?
I think we went to bed I went to bed around 11, and Owen stayed up till midnight, and then when D-Day happened. Which were you think was worse, Andy? 4th of July or New Year's Eve this year for fireworks?
Oh, did you get fireworks? July,
oh my God. It sounded like there was an air raid going on and there was anti-aircraft guns going off.
New Year's Eve was more enjoyable to me because Ryan Seacrest didn't have to be a part of it.
We missed that. We tried to catch it. And we turned in like 9:05 and they're already singing New York, New York. We're like, well, whoops, whatever. Exactly.
Yeah, it's everything's just a little weird this time. And I'm home. And just out of curiosity, not to get political at all, but just a show of hands. Who's in for having this vaccine first chance you get?
Jesus, give me two.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it. I mean, I think it's going to be a long time before we're in the position to get it, but
I'm like thinking about hiding in a bush and like right when they're about to put it in someone's arm, just running up and throwing my arm right in front of them.
Pushing out of the way. And, exactly. Yep. It's a good plan. It's a good plan.
Yeah. Just like anything else, it's, you know, people who are concerned about it, it's based on nothing that they have any knowledge of. It's like of course, you know, it's dangerous and it's just in this and it's new strains. It's already teaching itself to be more contagious and more dangerous. So yeah.
I've never been more anxious to get poked with something in my life.
Ooh, well then ring that bell.
It just got sexy again.
Yeah. Hey, fellas, it looks like we're winding down here. We got we have one message here. And then we were off last week. So this message, I don't know how old this was. Let's see. It came in. When did it come in? Can't even tell. This came in on Saturday, last Saturday. So this is, was that yesterday? No, I think this was a Saturday ago. Anyhow, to play this, I've got to play this. Low energy bite.
Low energy bite. Hey, yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Winter around this part of the country has been pretty slow in coming. Just a little wet and cool. But finally, it got a little bit more snow. I went snowboarding on New Year's Day. It was a fairly good day, but it got crowded later on. Must have been a 6-minute wait in line. So we left early. The ski area is closed for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So if there's any new snow, Thursday is the day to go. And this Thursday was a 7 inches of new since they had been closed. And the temperatures was just cold enough to keep the snow good. And a powder day was had. I wore myself out by 2 p.m. Then went home and got some work done in the shop. I'm in the process of building a 2-inch by 72-inch belt grinder. Quite the fun project. It's not putting gutters up, but still a good time for a ditch digging man. Talk to you later.
There you go. Oh, we got to play this.
That was low energy Mike. That was low energy Mike.
Yeah, did you notice that low energy Mike has become leisure Mike?
I was going to say, snowboarding is like, that's a tiring, have you ever snowboarded or skied before? That's a tiring activity.
Yeah.
This dude did that, then went home and built shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that. I'm like, okay, here's the couch for the next 8 hours.
2-inch by 72-inch. Is that what he said? Now, is the 72 a circumference?
What was he building? A belt grinder?
A bench grinder.
Bench grinder.
He said two by 72. Now, 2 inches wide. I got that. 72 is 6 feet. It's not, surely not a 6 foot.
No, it's got to be the length of the chain.
It's got to be 2 by 72. 72 has to be the circumference of the.
What do you think, Larry?
Yeah. Circumference.
Larry, what's the circumference of your bench grinder?
Well, I think I would agree with you that a 6 foot belt grinder doesn't seem practical. So, yeah.
That depends on what you're grinding.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, he's a ditch digging man. We don't know. Exactly. He does big jobs.
Exactly. By the way, I forgot to mention it before we played that, that you can also call anytime you'd like. And the number is 626-657-6428. Or there's a mnemonic device. Amok PM hat. That's 626-657-6428. Larry, were there any missives that came into the YAF sack?
Nothing to speak of. No, but you could always drop us a line and let us know what you think, what you want, what you want to hear, where your local butane refilling station might be. our email is
gutter tips.
Our email is yourartificialfriends@gmail.com.
Oh, one more thing. When we took a little drive last weekend, stopped at a candy store. You know, one of these Rocket Fizz stores where they've got all this old-fashioned candy and soda and so forth.
Yeah.
I picked up a batch of shit. The kids really wanted to go in. I'm like, no. Last thing you need is a bunch of candy in the car. No. So I, you know, get outvoted and finally we go in there. I bought like 5 times.
Did you get a bunch of old people candy?
Yes.
What'd you get?
Well, that's one thing is I almost got some whorehound candy.
Ugh. What the hell's that?
But we talked about whorehound candy.
He's talked about it
candy.
Before and neither one of us know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh. It's like a funky root beer. It's like just a weird root beer. Instead of getting the whorehound though, cause I'm like, how am I going to get it to you? And fuck it. But I got some sassafras instead.
Anything that's sassafras is immediately old people food.
It's old people.
If it includes the ingredient sassafras, it is immediately labeled old people food.
Yeah, it is. It tastes, it's root beer, basically.
Yeah.
It's root beer candy. That's all it is. But also got, another old people food. This was my mom's favorite candy. Brock's Maple Nut Goodies.
Oh, wow.
I think we talked about those.
Well, Brock's in general. Brock's is a good old people umbrella brand.
I miss the days when you used to be able to go to the grocery store and get that little paper bag and just go through all the Brock's candies and fill that thing up with.
Oh, right.
Remember that? Yeah. You used to be able to buy it by the pound, and then there'd be those weird pink, brown, and white coconut things.
Yeah, it's like a striped buffet thing where you can just go around. You know what they call that now? COVID.
I have a very distinct memory as a kid going to a drugstore in Odessa, Texas, and I had enough money, and they had that kind of candy counter, and I remember I was too young to kind of really understand how much stuff weighed, you know, so I was just I just saw the price of it and I could afford it, so I wanted lemon drops, good old sugary lemon drops that are in the shapes of lemon, you just suck on them, chew them. I loved those freaking things. I asked for a pound of lemon drops and I got this bag back and I'm like, oh my God. And I was like so shocked by how many it was. One, I was delighted, but two, it was like, if I bring this home, there's no way I'm so like a kid hiding porn under his bed or something. I had a stash of lemon drops in my closet for weeks and I would go in there and kind of, you know, take a few, but it was like, if I walk back and show my mom that I just bought a pound of lemon drops, this giant bag, oh, I'll never forget that. I don't know why I was so embarrassed or like,
I want to say maybe that the beginning of the end of society was when the Brock's thing died. When the Brock's grab your own pound of candy. When that died, that was the beginning of the end of society.
Let me ask you a question. Was there ever a time when you felt like that Brock's thing, as long as you were buying like a pound of candy, right, that it was acceptable for you to try something?
No, you can't do that. That's the same guy that eats an apricot out of the bucket when he's getting them at the grocery store.
Or
you
acceptable, pull grape off of the thing. No, but did I do it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, everybody's done. Yeah. Yeah, it's not right, though.
You know what was the nastiest shit they had in there? What? It was the taffy that was like blue, brown and white and pink. It
That's
was
what
all
I was
together.
Talking about. That's yeah. But it's coconut. I love those things.
That was gross. And I love coconut. Maybe I like it now. I don't know.
They, they used to have, remember, they'd had their own caramels too. That was the best Brock's thing. You'd always load up on those. My old man would eat all those right away. And then mom would come in and grab a handful of butterscotch bullshit and throw that in there.
The other stuff I got, by the way, was a box of Whoppers.
Whoppers are great. Hey, quick, Whoppers, everybody, fantastic. Go around. Favorite all-time movie candy.
Oh.
Mine, hot tamales.
Reese's Pieces. Hot tamales? Are you lying?
Hold on.
You're fucking lying. He's lying.
I literally thought he meant...
actual tamales.
No. When you said movie candy, I literally thought you meant candy from a movie. That's why I said Everlasting Gobstoppers.
Wow. That's kind of a big leap, Josh. We're sitting here talking about actual candy.
Well, I'll do the toot sweet whistle from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. What the fuck?
Raisinets. Gotta have Raisinets to move.
Yeah, no, it's Reese's Pieces for me.
Yeah.
For sure. You're fucking with me on the hot tamales.
No, those things are fantastic. The hot
really?
Cinnamon.
It's just cinnamon.
Hell, gets stuck up in your teeth and just
Andy,
you're picking them
Mike
out for
Ike?
The rest of the movie. I love those things.
Or no, Good and Plenty's.
Wait, Good and Plenty.
Yeah. Fuck that.
With the inside, the licorice on the inside? Yeah, those are good.
That's pussy candy.
Your jaw hurts but halfway
Ring
through
that
the box.
Bell.
Pussy candy. Also got what else? These are what made me think of it. I just have like two left. Butter rum lifesavers.
Oh, those are good.
And
old people. That's definitely old people.
It's old people food. And the last thing, this is an old people drink. You ready for it? A Faygo rock and roll.
You just gotta save that can.
Yeah,
just save that
can. It's a bottle. It's in the fridge.
Rock and rye. Ugh,
yeah,
that's gross.
No way. Oh. Rock and rye was like Dr. Pepper.
I thought that was like a liquor. Wasn't it like a liquor drink?
No,
like
rock
rye
and
whiskey.
Rye?
Yeah.
No. Rock and rye. Faygo rock and rye is like it's kind of like a Dr. Pepper, like a Mr. Pibb.
Faygo.
Faygo. Fellas, it's been great to see you. And you know, one of these days, hopefully, we'll get Sam to come back and visit us. He's knee deep, and there's games today, yesterday. He's in the playoff hunt.
Did you watch any football on Nickelodeon?
Fucking Colts lost yesterday. By the way, that was the pinnacle of joy yesterday, going on that hike where my daughter is just, you know, miserable the entire time. Meanwhile, I'm missing a nail-biter game with the Colts, but I took one for the team.
Good for you.
Hey, guys. Literally. I hate to do this, but I need to go get in line to refill my butane. So could we
shit.
Hey, take $10 with you. That's all you need. $10.
How can people get a hold of you, Larry? They can find you down at the propane shop.
Yeah, I'll meet you in line there. But my Instagram is at the Larry Morgan. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. You can find me if you really want to.
You want a propane fun fact?
Yes.
Do you know why? Do you know why it smells like sulfur? Why it smells like rotten eggs?
Why?
That because it doesn't have a scent. They put that scent in it. There
they so they it. Know right. if there's natural like a gas leak. Is
natural
the same
gas.
Way.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Nice. Yeah. That is a fun fact.
You're right. Exactly.
Here, I just thought the guy filling up my tank had a farting problem.
Nope.
Had a gas
issue. Propane leak.
All right. How can people get a hold of you, Josh?
You can find me. You can find me at Parler. Oh, God. Go ahead and reach out. Like us on Parler, your artificial friends.
Jesus.
No, joshuajfligger@gmail.com. What about you, Andy?
Me, you can find on the Instagram, Andy Chanley. At Instagram, also Andy_Chanley on Facebook, and no, that's on Twitter. And then Facebook is DJ Andy Chanley.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships, and tune into this podcast, we're your artificial friends.
Good to see you. Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah. Things are going to work out for us starting now.
We'll be a lot happier and more bullshit next week.
Yes.
More bye gutter bye. Talk.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.